While Laura was on her high-altitude adventure, she decided to monitor what did happen to her body by doing a series of experiments on herself and on her brother, who wasn't always the most cheerful volunteer. She measured heart rate, blood oxygen content, urine pH, and her sense of smell. She also recorded an audio diary for us. I caught up with her once she got back into the country to find out just how her experience had been.
It was actually a really amazing experience. I really enjoyed myself. It was hard work. It took a very long time, but it was definitely worth it.
So, first of all, how high is Everest Base Camp?
Base Camp itself is at 5,300 metres, but the highest we went while we were going up there was 5,450 metres.
So, although it is called Base Camp, people shouldn't be fooled into thinking that it's at the bottom of the mountain.
No, it's certainly very high up, especially compared to where we live here at Cambridge, which is sea level.
Well, let's have a listen to the first part of your audio diary.
We've now arrived in Pak Ding, which is at 2,652 metres. Some of the views up here have been absolutely spectacular. You can see the deep gorges and the high-rising peaks, typical of the Himalayas. Unfortunately, for a lot of the day, it's been quite cloudy and has been raining fairly solidly all day, which is a shame. But we've still been able to see a lot, and it's been an amazing experience. This morning, we flew in by a two-propeller plane into Lukla. It was a fairly terrifying experience. The runway is 60 metres higher at one end than the other, but it has to be because it's so short it has to slow the plane down by going uphill. Lukla's at 2,800 metres and Pak Ding's at 2,652 metres, so we're arriving higher and sleeping lower, which is the recommended course that you take when you're going to high altitudes to allow you to acclimatise to the altitude more effectively. At this height, I haven't noticed that much difference. You are a bit more out of breath as you're climbing uphill. But other than that, everybody seemed fine.
So although you are at altitude, it doesn't sound like you're really feeling any of it. Did your experiment show any physiological changes?
Yes, they actually did. Even though we didn't necessarily notice the change ourselves, our oxygen blood level had dropped down to about 97% of what it normally is, and our resting heart rates had increased by maybe 10 or 20 beats per minute.
So there are certainly physiological effects already, but it sounds like it's not really stopping you from moving on.
No, not at all. I mean, it's hard work, it's a hard walk, but you take it so slowly to try and prevent altitude sickness. No, we weren't really feeling anything at that stage.
OK, well, let's have a listen to the next stage of your walk.
Today we walked from Pak Ding to Namche Bazaar, which is at 3,446 metres, which means an increase of 794 metres. The climb was pretty steep the whole way, and it was quite tough. What was perhaps most disconcerting was that Sherpas often happily walked past us, having no trouble at all, when they were carrying up to 80 kilograms sometimes. We've now started to see the effects of altitude. You do get more out of breath doing things, it is harder, and you are more tired. By the end of the day, the whole group pretty much was completely exhausted. However, nobody's ill yet. Everybody's feeling well and happy and is looking forward to our rest day, which allows us to acclimatise to the altitude tomorrow.
Now that sounds like that was an enormous change in altitude in one day, 794 metres.
Yes, it really was a big jump up that day. It was quite hard work and you really saw it in the experiments that we were doing. My blood oxygen level had dropped down to about 90% of what it normally is, which is quite a big difference.
But by the sounds of it, the following morning, you really got a glimpse of what it was that you were aiming for.
This morning, as we left Namche Bazaar, the sun was out and we got our first glimpse of Mount Everest. Unfortunately, it did only last for about 5 minutes before a cloud came across, but we could still clearly see Lhotse, the mountain next to Mount Everest, which is also higher than 8,000 metres. The morning's walk was quite flat. There weren't really very many up or down sections, and the sun was out, which made it quite pleasant. However, after lunch, the rain set in and we had to walk up a steep hill for about 2 hours. A few people were starting to get headaches, me included, but nothing that an aspirin couldn't get rid of. We've now reached Tenbushe, which is the cultural and religious centre of the Khumbu region. Tenbushe is at 3,810 metres, which is an increase of 364 metres from Namche Bazaar where we were staying last night. This is a relatively small jump compared to some of the other ones that we've done. However, as you get higher, the tougher each small jump becomes. The one thing that we are all noticing is that we tire out a lot more quickly than usual. There's less oxygen up here, which makes everything a lot harder work.
So even though the altitude change was a lot smaller than the previous walk, it sounds like it's getting a lot harder.
yes, it definitely was. We were really beginning to feel it. And that afternoon in particular, when the weather set in and we were essentially walking up steps on what was almost a vertical cliff face, it was very much hard work.
And your experiments reflected this increased effort?
Yep. Again, as Andrew Murray suggested they would, our oxygen levels were dropping right down and our heart rates were shooting up again.
But the tough climbs don't stop there.
Today we stayed in Perrottet again, but to try and prepare us for the rest of our journey, we had an acclimatisation day, which meant climbing up a nearby hill, which went up to 5,100 metres. Probably about halfway up, I started getting quite a bad headache. We had the option of going to about 4,900 or carrying on for the final 200 metres, and quite a few people, me included, stopped at 4,900. We've been told that a headache doesn't really matter as long as it stays at the front of your head. It's when it goes round to the back of your head that it becomes dangerous. Also, according to our guide, Sanka, it's all about your mental attitude. The more you worry, the more you stress, the more you think about things while you're walking, the more likely you are to get headaches, to feel nauseous, to get altitude sickness in general. And although I do have a very bad headache now, I have to say that having taken his advice so far, it usually does seem to work. It's certainly a lot easier to sleep.
So Andrew Murray was saying that sleep would be interrupted because of this strange breathing pattern. Did people start to experience that?
Yes, at this stage, a lot of people were commenting that they were having trouble sleeping, that they kept waking up in the night and they couldn't work out why. Actually, when you could hear the breathing patterns of people nearby you when they were sleeping, you could definitely notice it. There were the short little breaths and then the large gasping breaths, and then their breathing would just cut out completely, which was a bit scary, but it was really interesting.
And it sounds like trying to relax and not think about it really helped.
Yeah, I really found that just letting my worries float away and not thinking about anything really made me feel a lot better. It's part of the Nepali philosophy, just everybody chill out and relax.
So with that in mind, you got your heads down, thought about nothing and carried on walking.
So today we've walked up to Lomashe, which is at 4,800 metres. It was a very tough climb, despite the fact that we'd had the acclimatisation day the day before. I think that having pushed myself quite hard yesterday, it's left me with a bit of a headache today, especially because I've been worrying about it. The other thing is that up here it's suddenly noticeably colder for the first time. Other people are really starting to feel the effects of altitude as well. More and more of the group are getting headaches, although no one's had any serious problems yet, thankfully. One thing people are definitely noticing is that you have to go to the toilet much more than you usually do, and it's a lot harder to sleep.
So, just as predicted, you had to go to the toilet far more often. And this, Andrew Murray was saying, is to do with balancing your body's pH. Were you able to do any experiments to prove this?
Yes, we actually did measure the pH of our urine, and there was quite an interesting effect. Whereas with your oxygen level and your heart rate, there's sort of a steady increase and decrease while you're travelling. With this, it was more that the alkalinity of your urine would shoot up when you made a jump in altitude, when you went up a long way, and then very quickly it would drop back down again to a normal level. And then as you went up again, it would shoot back up and then drop all the way down again.
Fascinating stuff. You are, in many ways, very close to reaching base camp. We will find out later in the show if you actually made it. By this point, the views must have been incredible and there must have been quite a drive to get there.
Yeah, it really is a spectacular place. If anyone ever gets the chance to go there, I'd recommend it. There's never seen anything like it before in my life, and I'd love to go back.
So we will be going back to Laura later on in the show to find out if she made it to base camp and hear a bit more about the experiments and how they showed her body reacting to the rarefied air. Laura has also very kindly sent us some pictures of her trip. You can find them all at thenakedscientist.com/podcasts.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science. The Naked Scientists.